Translation. O Lord. So when we hear that verse, we can mentally visualize, now we are in the prison house of Mathura. They are, Vasudeva and Devaki are in the prison. Devaki is soon ready to deliver her eighth child, and the demigods are there present. And now here the demigods are speaking to Krishna, who is in the womb of Devaki. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore, you are known as the desire tree, Vancha Kalpataru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Purport. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teaching to Rupa Goswami, said, Ramanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadepai Bhakti Lata Bich. One can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back to Godhead. I don't know if you noticed, but it's already the second time that Srila Prabhupada writes that the Lord and the devotees will be wanting to help the candidate when he wants to go back to Godhead. That's the second time that this is mentioned, that this is very much necessary for the aspiring devotee to have this desire to go back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seek shelter of such a guru or acharya who trains the devotee in a suitable ways to render service according to the circumstance, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept that service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional book as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees has been advised to refrain from four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. Those are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follow the regulative principle and the method prescribed in the various books and literature published by the authorities. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nations by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the follower, us, will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihinaye Mantraste Nishpalamata from Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya, otherwise one's own endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tandera charana sevi bhakta senavasa janame janame haya e abilasa. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. So, I hope you got some points of this purport. There is very, very important point connected to service. How the Acharya will always look what is the proper time, what is the proper circumstance, and what are the qualifications of the aspiring devotee. So the spiritual master will always see how can I engage the disciple in service. And here we have the first part of this purport is just about that. How can we be properly engaged in service of Krishna? So here is the verse again. If someone wants to donate for a new microphone stand, it's welcome. So here the verse. O Lord, who resembles the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as desire tree, Vancha Kalpataru. When the Acharya completely takes shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross, and because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prachaline. Nirvichesa sunyavadi paskatya deshatarine jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadara shivasati gauravakta vrinda hare krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. So, sometimes ago, Mother Earth was feeling so much burden by all those demons who were making troubles in this earth, took the shape of a cow and went to Brahma. And she went to complain. She had tears in her eyes and she went to Lord Brahma and said, please protect me, please save me, there are so many demons. But Lord Brahma said, I'm sorry. I'm in charge of creation. I'm not in charge of maintenance. It's not to me that you should approach. We should go to Vishnu. Vishnu, he is in charge of maintenance. He can help us. So Mother Cow, Brahma and all other demigods went at the ocean of milk and they started to recite the Purusha Shukta prayers. And then Vishnu did not come. But Vishnu spoke in the heart of Lord Brahma and gave him instruction. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave a very interesting example. He says, see, all the demigods were there. They were praying those Purusha Shukta prayer, but Lord Vishnu did not manifest to them visibly. Now, what to say of Krishna, who is the origin of all the Vishnus, and come in this earth and become visible to all the habitants of this earth? What an extraordinary mercy the Lord is giving. So in the heart of Lord Brahma, Vishnu told all of you demigods, you have now to come on the planet Earth. You have to take birth on planet Earth. I will soon also appear. And all your wives should also come and take birth and give pleasure to Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave a very interesting detail. He said that all those wives of demigods, they took a birth in Braj as Priyasakis or Narma Priyasaki, like the servant of the Priyasaki, like the unmarried gopis. Interesting detail to notice. So the demigod went, took birth on planet Earth, and sometimes later it was the marriage day of Devaki and Vasudev. For that day, Devaka Maharaj, the father of Devaki, organized a big festival. He gave a lot of elephants, of servants who were there to serve the new marriage couple. Drums were there, music were there. It was a big festival. It's actually, all those descriptions are there for us to have a visual experience of what is happening. So it's very difficult for the new marriage wife to leave home. And there is always a lot of cry during that day when she is leaving. All the family members are crying. So because of that, Kamsa decided, I'm his brother. I'm the brother of Devaki. I should drive the chariot. So he started to drive the chariot. And the demigods were looking at the scene. And they were thinking, what is now Kamsa doing? He is a demon. He needs to be killed as soon as possible. And now he is making some good action to drive the chariot of Devaki. I thought, oh my God, we have to do something. What if suddenly he escapes, that Krishna kills him? So then the demigod spoke from high in the sky. Oh Kamsa, oh foolish rascal. You think you are so proud, so great, but you ignore that the eighth son of the lady you are driving right now will kill you. Now there is, when this voice came, there are a few very interesting details that are given, but I have to check my notes. I lost one. Yeah. Actually, when Vasudev took birth, there was a lot of divine songs that appeared in the sky. And this was a clear sign that Vasudev would have his son, would be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the father of Vasudev told him, when you took birth, there was those divine sound, and most probably the Supreme Lord will take birth from you, from coming from you. And he had told that to Devaki. Devaki knew that. And when Devaki heard that voice from the sky, she became blissful. She understood, yeah, that will be true. That will really happen. Now there is, when Kamsa heard that voice, he immediately changed his mind. He immediately stopped the chariot and took the hairs of Devaki and took his sword and was ready to cut off her hair. Head. Now, can you imagine? That's actually exactly the mentality of a materialistic person. He was driving her affectionately, and from one moment to another, his affection toward her became hate. And that's Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentioned. That's the typical symptom of a materialistic person. They can just switch so fast from a very good behavior to a very bad behavior. Now, when Vasudev saw that, he said, "My God, what is happening now? I have to protect Devaki." So he had three ways to do. The first way, he thought, "Let me praise Kamsa first. Oh Kamsa, you are such a great hero. You are the pride of your family members. What are you doing? It is your wife. It is your sister. Sorry. It is your sister. She's unprotected lady. She's your sister and you want to kill her? Think a bit. What will people think of you? You will lose all your prestige, all your good name, you will lose everything." But Kamsa was just so determined that Vasudev thought, "My God, I need to find another strategy." So he used logic. He said to Kamsa, "Kamsa, think a little bit. You are afraid of death, but death will come in any way. What is the use of being afraid of death?" And then he gave him the super full teaching of reincarnation, karma, and what he will gain by killing his sister. But still, you see that Kamsa doesn't accept logic. So finally he said, okay, don't worry, I will give you all the children. Don't touch your sister, that's too sinful, that's too adharmic. But when we will have children, I promise I will give you all our children." And because Vasudev was a true Brahmana, was a person of truth, Kamsa understood, okay, I can trust him and let it Devaki peaceful. Now when the first child came, Vasudev went to Kamsa and offered the child. Now can you imagine how that must be painful for a father to go and bring his child to be slaughtered? But Vasudev was so truthful that he went to Kamsa, and Kamsa said, come on, the eighth child, I'm in danger with the eighth child only. You can keep that child, you give me the eighth one, it's okay." And again the demigod looked and said, "Oh, he's too kind, this Kamsa, it's a problematic situation." So at that time Narada Muni came, a little later, Narada Muni started to say, "Hey Kamsa, you are mad, you are crazy, the child is, all the demigods are appearing in this world, they are already all here to arrange that you will be killed, and now Vishnu is taking birth in your sister womb and you don't do anything." There are nine reasons that are given by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur why Narada Muni came to deliver that message to Kamsa. We can think, but Narada Muni, what are you doing? You are now telling that he should kill the children of Devaki. But there are great, great reasons. The main reason is that the demigods, everyone was just waiting so much for Krishna to come, and they wanted for sure that Krishna would kill Kamsa. They knew how tyrannic was Kamsa, and they knew even though he would behave nicely time to time, but from one moment to another, he could just turn his mind and just make such disaster. So Kamsa killed the first child and the five child who came afterward. And those six first children of Devaki, they represent the sense objects, which is touch, form, smell, taste. What was the first one? Sound, yeah, sound and thought. So those six children that were killed by Kamsa represent the six sense objects. And because of the sense object, our sense are going, our sense are attracted, our thoughts are attracted. And what is the result? They bring us away from Krishna. Unless they are attracted by spiritual form or spiritual sound or spiritual smell. But most of the time they are unfavorable, they are taking our mind away from Krishna. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, very interesting, please listen carefully that sentence. Just as fear of the material world removes the six sense objects from the womb of bhakti, so Kamsa destroyed the six children of Devaki. Huh? Just as fear of material world will destroy those six sense objects. And when we feel fearful from the material nature, then we don't feel attracted. We know we have to protect ourselves against the material nature. Then those six material sense objects will be removed from the womb of bhakti. That's the word of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Then the seventh son was Anantashesh, was Balaram. And he grew in the womb of Devaki, but before the birth, he was transferred by Yogamaya, the energy of Krishna, in the womb of Rohini, in security, in Braj. And what happened, externally, it seems that Devaki had a miscarriage, that she had lost her child. And then, finally, Krishna appeared. First in the mind of Vasudev. And when he appeared in the mind of Vasudev, Vasudev became so shining, became so effulgent. And then, from the mind of Vasudev, Krishna went to the heart of Devaki. And at that time, Devaki became so resplendent. She looked like the eastern direction when the moon is rising. She was looking so effulgent. And at that time, Kamsa understood, here is Vishnu in the womb of my sister. But this time, he used a little more his brain, and he thought, if I kill them now, that will be really bad for me. That really, I will lose all my name, my fame, my glories. Better I wait that he's taking birth, and then I will kill him. And sometimes later, the demigods appeared in the prison house and started to say that prayer. Many, many beautiful prayer that I would say even will be very, very auspicious for those who want to read them today and to get a little bit in the mood of Krishna is now ready to appear. How are the demigods thinking? How are the demigods praising the arrival of Krishna? How are the demigods preparing themselves to welcome Krishna? Because it's also our strength for the festival that we prepare ourselves to welcome Krishna. So we can follow in the footsteps of the demigods. How did they do before Krishna appeared? What were they praying to Krishna? So it's very, very nice today for those who can find a little time to go a little through those prayers, maybe to catch one or two that are moving us most and to deeply meditate on them, to pray them also to Krishna, although he's on the altar, he's not in the womb of Devaki, but we can use those prayers to prepare ourselves. Now in the particular prayer of today, we have a very, very good introduction on devotional service, on the way to serve Krishna, how the spiritual master and Krishna both together are working so hard to see how we, conditioned soul, will be able to engage in devotional service. How will we be able to do that, to serve Krishna? And this devotional service is so powerful. See how Srila Prabhupada came to the West. Who he met? They were almost all hippies and all drug addicts and such a low state of consciousness. But just because he engaged them in devotional service, because they did a little service, Krishna accepted them and gave them strength, gave them inspiration, gave them more opportunities for service so that they could become sannyasis, they could become realized soul or advanced devotee, let's say. We have the example of Putana, who was coming to Krishna with the evil desire to kill him. But when she saw this Krishna, he was so beautiful, when she wanted to give her milk, she had a little affection toward him. She had a little desire to serve him, to give her milk to him. And just because of this teeny inclination of serving Krishna, Krishna sucked out of her all the bad tendency. Just he purified her by squeezing her like anything and just accepted from her what this teeny desire to serve. And just because of that teeny desire to serve, she got the position of a mother in the spiritual world. So here we see how this desire to serve Krishna, this desire, this devotional service, this devotion to Krishna is so powerful. So of course most of us are devotees and are trying to do devotional service during our life, but when we come to such a day, such a festival, it's an occasion to intensify that bhakti, to make more fire into our desire to please Krishna. It is a time when blessings are coming like anything. It is like spring. When spring comes, suddenly there is the strong sun for one or 2 days, and when the strong sun is there, the whole nature just bloom. Just everything change. So those festivals are like this. They are like moment of extreme mercy that is given to us by the Lord. So it's good, very, very good for us to intensify our devotional service in quality and in quantity during those days. And here it is said, the Lord who is like the shining sun, the sun who will make our heart bloom, who will make our love bloom out of our heart, he is ready to fulfill the desire of all of us. In Vedic times, when you have birthday, you don't expect gifts, you want to give gifts. And tomorrow is Krishna's birthday. He has so much desire to give so much gift to all of us. So much mercy is going to flow toward us. But this mercy, we will be able to accept that mercy, to imbibe, to receive that mercy through our service attitude, through how much we want to serve Krishna. When we love a person and that person has the birthday, what will we do? We will do our maximum to organize that birthday celebration as best as we can. We will make a lot of surprises for our beloved. We will take care of so many details to be sure that everything works nicely. And what I would like to say is devotional service during such a festival is mainly Shravanam, Kirtanam, the main aspect of devotional service. But we should not forget or put in a lower stage practical service or menial service. And those menial service are a way to get even more blessings. Some days ago we had a lot of association with Madhava Prabhu, with a wonderful bhajan singer. We met him in Spain, we met him in Switzerland, we met him, and because he was so close to Aindra Prabhu, often he spoke of some teaching or inspiration he received from Aindra Prabhu. And I think it was in Spain, he told us that one day Aindra came in his room and he had just a gamsha around him. And he said, come Madhava, now we are doing a nectar service. Madhava said, what do you want to do? He said, now we go to Brahmachari toilets and we will clean the toilets there. And Madhava said, come on, you are joking or what? Well, let's sing, let's do something much more interesting. But Aindra said, no, we need to do this type of service. We need to be humble. We need to become humble. We need to serve the Vaishnava. We need to do menial service. Another example is King Prataparudra. What king means? King means Aishwarya Bhav, means I control, means such identity, such identification to be a king. But on the day of Ratha Yatra, the king gives up all those identification and just become a menial servant and just sweep in front of Jagannath chariot. He's rejecting all this identification of being someone important, of being someone great, someone who is in control. He gives up all of that to become just a menial servant. And what is the result of that? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees how Mahaprabhu gives up this identity, this Aishwarya Bhav, to just become a menial servant, his heart is melting and he is giving to Prataparudra such a mercy that later Prataparudra can see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expanding and dancing in all the kirtan groups. So much mercy is coming when one agree to do those menial service. One doesn't think himself to be so great or so important. Oh, I'm already so advanced and so long in the movement, I should just hear, chant and do those type of service. They are good, they are super important. But keep an eye open. Whenever you have the opportunity to do this type of menial service, and especially during festival, when there is usually a lot of mess, a lot of things lying around, put a little order in Krishna's temple. This is his birthday, this is his room. It will be much nicer if it's a little clean. Go time to time to the kitchen and do some pot service. You will benefit so much, and especially if you meditate while you do the service, I give up now my identities. What I want is just to be a menial servant, just to be a small servant of my Lord. That's his birthday. Today I do a little sacrifice. Today I want to do something even I don't like so much to do, but it's important that I do it. And my spiritual master sometimes say, the service that are most needed are the most appreciated by the Lord. So keep an eye open during this festival, what you can really do, what is important, what is necessary to be done in the festival, and engage yourself fully in those type of service. Now it's 1, 2, 3 days, we can enlight the fire of devotion. We can increase this service that we can do to Krishna. So, one point, menial service. Another point is do it without motivation. Keep in your mind, this is just for you. Whenever you do service, just keep that in mind. My dear Lord, I don't want anything in exchange. This is my offering to you. This is my gift to you. This is how bhakti, this is what is what bhakti means. That's like unmotivated. This is just for you. I do that just for you. I don't want anything else in exchange. That while you do service, you think like this. My dear Lord, please accept that. That's just for you. I don't want anything else. It's very, very powerful meditation, and that will bring a lot of taste in the service we are doing. And the third thing I will say is pray while you do service. Satvarup Maharaj is saying in the book Vaishnav Compassion, he said that to go from mechanical service to feeling service will be possible when we pray. When we are praying while we are doing the service, then it's not a mechanical service. It comes immediately to the feeling service. So from that, I would like to come to the second inspiration for the festival. First inspiration, service. Second inspiration is prayer. Don't miss to pray during the festival. So much mercy is ready to come, we should be ready to pray for it. We should show we want it. We need it. Like here in the purport, two times Srila Prabhupada said that those arrangements from Krishna and the Acharya to engage the devotee in devotional service will work when there is the sincere desire from the aspiring devotee to go back to Godhead, to be pleasing to Krishna, to be reunited with Krishna. Unless this desire is not there, it doesn't work as well. One need to pray for that. One need to awake those spiritual desires. They are deep, deep, deep into the heart. Often we are on the surface with so many pseudo desires that are actually there to, like strategy, to fulfill the inner desire, but they are often wrong strategy. So we have to access very, very deep into the spiritual desires that are in our heart and pray for the fulfillment of those desires. Pray for enlightenment. Pray for spiritual experience. Pray for revelation. It can happen. One must have faith that can happen, that Krishna has the power to give us that. And that will strengthen our faith. That taste we receive will help us to make new steps in our spiritual life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, those festival days, they are there to revive spiritual taste in our hearts. So we should pray for that. We should beg for that. Once Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk and they went close to a lake and there was a lot of ducks and birds. And people were throwing bread, it was during winter, to those ducks. And there was one duck that was running like mad, and he was almost all the time getting the bread of the other ducks. And Prabhupada said, this is how we should practice devotional life. We should have the eagerness that duck has. We should be like this, looking for mercy, begging for mercy, praying for mercy. I would also like to say, when we are praying during that festival, let us make those prayers super personal. Let's really turn to Madan Mohan. He's there in his deity form. We should go to him, we should pray to him. Just being with folded hands in front of the altar, and you just speak your heart. Just ask for devotion. Just ask for what you spiritually need in your life. Just ask for protection of your bhakti, for inspiration, for everything. But my point is, speak to Madan Mohan. Acknowledge his presence here, not only like a statue, but like directly like a person. Go very, very personal into the relationship with Radha Madan Mohan, in prayer, in looking at them, in observing how well they are dressed, what they have. What do they have on their body today? And then during the day you just memorize it. You just review. Oh, how was Madan Mohan dressed? What was the color of his turban? Oh, and Radharani has a little red piece of cloth on the side of her body, and like this. And then during the day you memorize. Just come closer into your relationship with Madan Mohan in more personal way. Like try to more and more see them as a person. It will be their birthday party, and we are part of that. We are the close associates for the birthday party. We are there having main roles in organizing that birthday, and we want really to give him pleasure. That should be our prayer. That should be our focus. So during the whole festival, even if it's 10 times a day, no problem. Just go to the deities, fold your hands and pray to them. And the last attempt of inspiration is leave a place, let a place for Krishna to appear. We hear Janmashtami, inner meaning of Janmashtami is Krishna wants to appear in our heart. So we should make a place in our heart for him to appear. We should leave a little place in our mind for us to hear his voice. Often our mind is just so much speaking, we are not able to hear if he will tell us anything. So we have to leave a place for Krishna to manifest in our heart, in our mind. So in order to make a little place, we might need to throw away something unnecessary. Huh? When, like in our house, when we start to do a ma cleaning, we want some space. So we start to look, what do we don't need? Huh? What we don't use so often, and we put that all away, and we get a new space. So I would like to invite you to think a little bit, what are one or two unnecessary things in your life that you could actually throw away? We are maybe attached to some of them, but we know deep inside of us they are not really necessary, not so favorable for our devotional life. So try to think. It can be material things, it can be thought patterns, it can be a controlling attitude that is often impeding into our devotion to Krishna. We are not so much in a receiver, but much I do, I make, I do like this, I do like that. Just think in your own. It can be desire for prestige, desire for recognition. Just think of anything you feel, this here, this is really something I want to get rid of. Just think of that, and then pray to the deity so that you will be able to leave that away, so that Krishna can come. Such a good prayer. Please remove some of those bad things that doesn't allow you to come in my heart. And when you remove them, please, then the place is there for you. Please come in my heart. So it's almost finished. I think I would like to tell a little story more. I think we can go till 9 or so. Or how do you feel? Should we go with question answer, or should I tell a little story more? Okay. Often, the gopis of Vrindavan will go to sell yogurt. And sometimes they had to cross a river. And this place is where Manasi Ganga is now in Govardhan. Now it's a lake, but before it was a river. And one day, the gopis, and don't worry, the story is related to the topic. It's not out of topic. Just also, if you have heard that story many times, don't worry too. Just listen. Just keep your eyes open and your mind relaxed. And maybe something happened. Let's see. So the gopis arrived there at the river and wanted to cross the river. Now in India, when you want to cross a river, there are always many boatmen there. And they are all, come in my boat, come in my boat. But that time, there was no boatman. The place was empty. So the gopi thought, my God, how will we do? We need to cross the river to sell our milk products. But then one gopi said, look down the river. There seems there is something like a boat. So they went down and they saw a very old, broken boat. And there on that boat was a young boy who had a dark complexion, who was resting in that boat. So the gopi started to move the boat. Hey, boatman, wake up. We need to go across. And the boatman opened one eye, looked at them and said, I don't work today, I'm too tired, and close his eye again. So the gopi says, hey, come on, we need to go the other side. So slowly the boatman came out of his drowsiness and looked at the gopis and said, but it will cost very expensive. So the gopis said, okay, how much, how much? So the boatman said, I want payment in milk products. So the gopis said, huh? Payment with milk products? How strange. Okay, okay, we will give you the payment. So they went on in the boat, and the boatman started to row very, very, very slowly. The gopis said, come on, we will not reach the other side of the river this night if you go not faster. Come on, hurry up, go faster. And the boatman said, I'm sorry, but I have no strength. I think you should give me a prepayment of milk products to give me strength. So the gopis said, okay, okay, here, take. And what happened then? They saw this young boy was eating with both hands. Even with the left hand, he was eating yogurt with both hands. They were surprised, and he was drinking ghee. The gopis, my God, who is that boy? We know only one boy who likes so much milk product. That's our Krishna. But Krishna is not a boatman. It cannot be him. Mm. So after eating all those milk products, the boatman lay in the back, put his arm and legs up and say, oh, I feel now I need a good nap. Mm. And the gopi said, come on, come on, now you have to go. And the boatman said, please give a little, take my hands and my legs and give me a little massage to give me again some new energy. The gopi said, yeah, yeah, we will take your hands, we will take your legs, but we will just throw you in the river if you don't row immediately. So the boatman said, okay, okay, okay. So he started to row. And since the beginning, the boatman had the feet in one specific place in the boat. And the toe of his feet was over a hole. So at that time, the boatman just moved a little bit his feet, and water started to enter the boat. So the gopi said, hey, boatman, boatman, look, look, the water is coming. And the boatman said, I'm sorry, we are too heavy. You need to throw on board, overboard, all your milk products. The gopi said, come on, we are just here to sell those milk products. What is the use to cross the river if we don't have milk products anymore? The boatman said, you can decide, but the water is coming up. So the gopi said, oh no. So they did not have choice. They threw out the milk products. But still, the boatman did not place his feet back, and the water continued to come in. So the gopi said, and what now? The water continued to come. And the boatman said, now you have to throw overboard all your jewelries, your necklaces, your heavy bangles, your earrings, everything overboard. The gopi said, no, we have already lost all our milk products, and many of those jewelry belong to our mothers. What will they say if we lose all of them? The boatman said, you decide. I know how to swim. So the gopi did not have any choice. They threw out their necklaces and jewelry. But still the water was coming, and the gopi said, please, boatman, do something. The boatman said, I think you are still too heavy. You have now to throw all your clothes out of the boat. And the gopi said, this we are not going to do. You are the boatman. We have given you already prepayment. Now you have really to take us out of this trouble. At that time, the wind started. Clouds came and waves started to shake the boat, and the gopis became frightened. What will happen now? Already full of water. This boat is full of water. And out of anxiety, at a certain time, one of the gopi jumped into the boat, into the arms of the boatman, and said, please, please, save us, save us. And at that time, that gopi felt there was something hard and round under
the kurta of that boatman. And then she realized, my God, that's a foot. And then they realized, that's our Krishna. That's our Krishna that was playing with us. And at that time, the cloud disappeared. The water in the boat went away. The boatman put back his toe on the hole. And all the milk products, the jewelry, everything reappeared in the gopis. But at that time, they did not have any desire to go and sell their milk products anymore. They were now with Krishna on the boat. They just decided to sing for him, to just follow the stream of the river together with Krishna. So these pastimes also show us this giving up things. How the gopis had to give up their milk products, their jewelry, what was the most, what was very valuable for them. They had to give that away so that they will receive Krishna, they will have Krishna. So in the same way, it's a good deal. We should not be afraid to give up some of those unnecessary things. It's a good deal to receive Krishna consciousness. It's such a much higher that those unnecessary things that are bothering us. So we should not be fearful. We might feel incompetent to give them up, but we can pray to Krishna. He can do that. So I will stop here. I don't know if you have questions, comments. Yeah, Mataji.
And I went there, opened one door, back. No, I can't go there. Ah, there's a second one, but the second one was also no better. And I saw the lift, and it wasn't clean since hours. There was a lift, and I could see it since the afternoon, no cleaning in the toilet. Ah, okay, close the nose, close the eyes, and we will survive. And I thought, what will happen? Also, the devotees are coming, that will be even worse. So for me, it's over now, I will not go again. But I didn't even think about Krishna or something, I can't do this. So, I didn't want to do it, but somehow I felt some inner pressure to clean the toilet. And I thought, anyway, I have to do it. It was not nice, so many guests here, and everyone will have this experience. And I cleaned the toilet. And I came back maybe a quarter to 12 to midnight to the temple room. And suddenly, you know, my whole was changed. And it was so ecstatic. I didn't even think about Krishna when I was cleaning, but I felt so ecstatic after this. It was such a good experience. It was really the whole, everything was upside down suddenly. And,
thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I told about Ahimsa.
Thank you for sharing, because those deities are super powerful. They are super active. They are really, really, I mean, amazingly active in the life of the devotees. And they will also have control over the birthday party. And they will also try to engage us in some ways. So, one tip, be open. Whatever happened, whatever devotee come to you, ask for service, these few days, one should not refuse any service. Whenever, I mean, you have to see the circumstances, not like a general rule, but whenever they are occasion for service that come with us, we can see them as a sign of Krishna, that Krishna is now engaging here. So keep very, very open, keep very flexible, not be too much attached, oh, now I do this, now I do that, oh no, I wanted to go here and he asked me for service there and things like this. Just be super flexible and see how Krishna will organize everything, and just be ready for good service. And also, if it's not so easy to connect to service to Krishna, service for his birthday, you can also easily connect service for Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas, there will be so many Vaishnavas here around, go and serve prasadam for them, and whatever is possible. It's the time when we can be in the fire of devotional service. Thank you for this comment. So, in two word summary, three inspiration for this festival, three tuning, three and half. The first half is, if you get a little time, read those prayers of the demigods to Krishna in the womb of Devaki. That's their preparation to welcome Krishna. So we can follow in their footsteps and also prepare ourselves to receive Krishna. And they are really first class prayer, really beautiful. Then, service. Intensify service as much as possible with 3 points. Don't be afraid of menial service. Do it in an emotivated way. Meditate, my dear Lord, this is just for you. I don't want anything in exchange. And see what is the most needed around you. And do that service that is most needed. Then prayer. Pray enough for experience, spiritual taste, revelation, strength for new steps in our life, overcoming obstacles, for connection with Krishna, for being able to hear him, to see what is his plan, what does he want for me, all those types for bhakti, all those types of prayer, and do it in a very personal way, by looking at Krishna, by praying, by acknowledging his presence here. I think that's a very good term, acknowledging his presence here. And the third point was, think what could be thrown out of the Leela room. Sachinandana Swami would speak sometimes of the Leela room, a room of someone who had a lot of mess inside and a lot of things that needed to be thrown. So maybe I should not have said her name. Anyway, everyone knows. And actually it was not the mess of her, because Maharaj was in the house. Everything that was unnecessary in the apartment landed in that room, so therefore there was really a lot of things in that room. Anyway, so that's the third point. See what is maybe not so necessary in your life, in your attachments, in your thought patterns, in your controlling attitude, in your desire for prestige or name or fame or recognition, whatever. Try to pray that Krishna takes them away so that there is a little space for him to enter the door of the heart. Good. So I wish you a good day, and we will meet again this evening with the Adivas ceremony. There will be Gaurarati at 7 o'clock, and then Sachinandana Swami will give us a deeper and stronger tuning into the festival. And please try to keep a little in mind the point you have heard this morning, and see how you can make that festival the best, huh? The best opportunity. So, Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Shishirada Madan Mohan ki jai, Shri Krishna birthday celebration ki jai.